You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area and the entire world on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and then click on the Listen Live link. And talking about our internet site, I want you to know that right on the front page, in addition to our panel members, if you go down two links, you'll see that special report on the Blue Angels and also the list where we have the school supplies. Well, first of all, I would like to say thank you to many of our good people who go around and tell me that they talk to family members and friends, invite them to tune in, resend them, re-email them our internet rebroadcasts, and let people know that we are really doing a job to make sure that change does happen here in the USA. There's a lot of good things happening. We're going to be talking about that today. And we also may have a very special guest coming on, and we'll be letting you know about that very shortly. But first, I want to let you know that we are on board with the very well-known Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, as well as Larkin Connolly, who is the East Coast Vice President of SCORE. And I understand that we may even be hearing from Rich Logis today from the mountains of Poland. He's doing a little hiking out there. And also with me is Henry Czaplinski, our engineer. But as always, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. And I thank you for all that you are doing to make sure that things go the way they should here in the USA. Well, I want to tell you that I see two very distinguished gentlemen entering the room. One is the very well-known Ken Bode, and I want to tell you, Ken is top of the top. He is the assistant to Senator John Sabatina, and I see Senator Sabatina. Very good to see you. Thank you for joining us today. And we're going to ask him to say a few words in a few minutes. But Ken Bode, sit down, put the headset on, listen in. Ken is the best. I want to tell you something, Ken. Guys, you're on the broadcast today with Mark Andel and Larkin Connolly. I just want to tell you that John Sabatina, Senator Sabatina, is the newly elected senator from the 5th District of Pennsylvania, which represents Northeast Philadelphia, where Blihash lives. So he's in a very dangerous situation. Now, Senator Sabatina served also in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives for 9 years, representing the 174th District, and was recently elected to fill another important job, and that is the seat which was held by our very well-known friend, Lieutenant Governor, now Lieutenant Governor Mike Stack, formerly Senator Stack from the 5th District, who is a major supporter of jobs, education, self-sufficiency efforts, and good government. Well, Senator Sabatina, I want to welcome you. And of course, say a few words just to make sure we got your mic and everything is perfect.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me on the show today.
We're happy to have you. And I know that you had some traffic coming down on I-95, and I know that they're doing some good things there to make sure that road is in good shape for now and in the future, especially the Pope coming in a month from now. So we have to get everything ready for all the visitors that will be coming to Philadelphia. Tell us a little bit what's going on with you in your new position.
Thank you, Michael. I like to call the Senate district like a state house district on steroids. It's four times as big, four times as many, people to represent, four times as many places to go, things to do, people to see and meet. And so it's kept me busy. It's kept me busy since I've got sworn in on June.
And you're going to love it, because the people in your district and the people throughout the state of Pennsylvania and, of course, the USA appreciate knowing what you represent, and that is getting more jobs back in the USA, putting better education programs in the schools. And of course, we're big pushers of getting the trades and vocational arts back in the schools, which really is one of the things that many of the employers have to complain about when they contact us. They say there's just not enough people from the schools that have some hands-on availability, because all the trade classes were canceled over the last 25 years. But I want you to meet on line our Mark Andel, who's the founder of the Made in America store. And this guy has been doing this for 5 years publicly. And Ken Bode listens all the time, so he knows Mark very well. He asked me about him the other day. And he has done an awful lot. I mean, I'll let Mark introduce yourself, and we welcome our Senator Sabatino.
Hello, Mike, and welcome, Mike or Ken Bode and Senator John. Very nice to have you on. Mike's been doing an awesome job here, and I'm glad to hear you listen in so you kind of know what we're about. But, you know, my store, like Mike said, my kind of movement started April 3rd, 2010, and I did it because I owned my general welding and fabricating in my main business. I had four plants in Western New York, and I had started that in 1985 out of my dad's garage and built these plants to have 70 livelihoods. And 07, 08, I was hit by a major loss to overseas competition in China. And then the recession of 08, 09, 010 took two of my plants out and took my 70 employees down to 30 employees. And I had 18 family members and three guys I went to kindergarten with, so and no rich uncle at the time, you know. So very tough times. But, you know, I'm proud to say the Made in America store is 5 years strong, and we're up to five stores now in Western New York, and have three websites. And we're in the second largest county fair in the country right now. 1 million people go through the gates, and we're on day seven of this fair. And we do the Made in America store is very strong right now. A lot of respect for what we're doing. We're up to almost 7,000 products that are made 100% in our country, and we support 450 privately owned businesses now. And it's awesome to be part of. Every check I write stays in our country, and I realize everybody can't be 100%. But Senator, I think you could agree, you know, this is common sense. This is something you have to do, produce more than you consume.
Yeah.
And to me, it's very, very simple. But welcome welcome on, and can't wait to hear what you got to, you know, say about your new position.
Thank you. Yeah, I tend to agree with you on those issues. I mean, we went from, you know, back in the 1980s, we were American proud, and I think we lost that a little bit. I think we took our eye off the ball, and now we're not as focused on America and buying American products as we should be and as we once were. So I think we need to return to that.
And Senator, I'd like you to be introduced now to Larkin Connolly, who is our East Coast Vice President of SCORE. Larkin, how you doing, Guy?
Michael, I'm doing well. And Mark, good morning. Henry, good morning. I apologize for being off the radar for the last couple of weeks, but I guarantee you I have notes from my mother that give me good excuse for being absent. Sorry about that. Last week I was in Reno at our national convention, and so much happened out there that I don't know where to begin. But Ken Bode and Senator Sabatino, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
I represent an organization called SCORE, formerly known as the Service Corps of Retired Executives. We are a resource partner of the SBA, Small Business Administration. We're funded by Congress. There are 11,000 volunteers nationwide. And we have Pennsylvania very, very well covered, which I can specifically address two chapters, Lancaster and Chester County. These two chapters were chapters of the year in the last 3 years. So Pennsylvania is well covered amongst the 325 chapters that we have nationwide. Our mission is to help people start small businesses, grow small businesses, and become better and stronger business people. The beauty of the whole thing is that with the exception of our staff in Washington, D.C., which is 19 strong, we are totally volunteer, and we charge nothing. And our volunteers are extraordinary citizens that are currently CEOs, are retired CEOs. It's amazing. I sent a guy who needed some help with his meatpacking company, and his counselor ended up being the current CEO of Omaha Steaks.
Oh,
so
wow.
What we do, we're extremely proud of. In Philadelphia, the last year I was there as president, and I'm trying to get some statistics for you so I can tell you what we've done in Pennsylvania. It's extraordinary. But in Philadelphia, we started 36 businesses 2 years ago, small businesses, and we put about $1.5 million in the tax coffers of the city.
Wow.
So we work hard and for free and as volunteers to accomplish what I hope you have on your agenda, which is the recognition that the economy will not recover without the involvement of small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt that small businesses are the backbone of our country, and they're vitally important to America's well-being and our recovery from this recession.
Well, we certainly have a lot of things that have been happening in the USA, say in the last 5 years, and I'm proud to say that we've been a leading part in all that, bringing people together. Some of us are really concerned that this is not part of the national agenda, hasn't been part of the national agenda for some years, and we've been trying to bring it to the eyes of the people and by having them get involved, going out and speaking up where they shop, looking at the labels, saying that they're not happy with the labeling, why is everything made foreign and not here in the USA. It's made a tremendous difference. In fact, Senator, I want to just note that, say for 20 years, we had a 20-year period here in the USA where people did not really notice what was happening. They just went along with business. Most of the people were employed, but as the businesses closed up, it became more and more evident that there were no businesses to replace them. And the sad part of it is now we have many quality people who are looking for jobs, and yet there's no place to go. In fact, additionally, every day in the United States, 10,000 people retire. Along with those 10,000 people, you have a number of great job skills, many of which were learned in our public school system. And then they graduated and went off into various areas. And the next thing you know, they had a job for life and a skill for life. Today, we don't seem to value that. It was everyone thought that we would be in an economy, a service-oriented economy. We would just be doing the billing and stuff like that. But it hasn't happened that way. And we have many wonderful young people graduating from colleges with big debts on their shoulders, and yet no place to go. This was extremely evident in the last 3 or 4 years at the height of the recession when people saw for themselves, there's no place to go. All I have my obligation to begin paying my loans back as of January the 1st, but I have no job for me to be able to pay it back. And that's what we are trying to do. In addition to that, people like Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, myself, Henry, we're working together very closely along with many business groups. We started another initiative, National Small Business Weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. And the reason we did that every month is because there was a National Saturday, Small Business Saturday. This was started the Saturday after Thanksgiving. But that was only a one-day push. So what we did is we talked with some business people and came up with the idea that having this once a month, a focus on some of the local businesses, would be very helpful. And I hope that you'll be able to promote that in the Senate and in the state of Pennsylvania, as our good Senator Stack has been doing for some years.
Yes, absolutely. I have big shoes to fill, but I plan to hit the ground running and pick up where Senator, or now Lieutenant Governor Stack, left off in that regard.
Mark, what would you like to ask our special guest?
Yeah, well, I want to just review a little bit, Senator, with what we do with the Made in America store and our mission. You know, of course, we sell products retail in the five stores, three websites. I just tied with the Buffalo Erie Naval Park, so we try to help our veterans as much as we can. Just develop the patriotic catalog to send around the country to help, because they're having trouble keeping the American Legions and VFWs open. But what we do is we raise awareness. We help and support entrepreneurs and inventors. But one thing I'm not sure if you're aware of is the American-made movie. There's a gentleman named Clyde Strickland out of Georgia that invested in this movie. It was a four-year project, and basically it shows where America was after World War II, where we are today, and what we need to do for our children's future. And it was non-political, but it's a movie to show globalization and the effect of what it means to buy and build in your own country. And what was neat is I went down and met the governor of Georgia back in February. And Clyde and his team, it's called the National Education Initiative. They turned the movie, which is a feature documentary film, into a curriculum, a national curriculum, and all Georgia schools accepted this movie in the National Education Initiative to be taught in 960 Georgia schools, because we all figure we've got to get to the children from 5th grade to 12th grade and educate them on what we really mean by buying and building in our country. So that's something I'd like, with Michael and whatnot, to make sure you get a copy of the American-made movie and know a little bit more on how we're trying to raise awareness. And one thing I've done lately is tied with our tech schools in Western New York, Alfred Tech, and brought six students over, talked to the teachers, tried to teach them what us as a business in manufacturing and welding need today, and make sure they're on track, because my number one problem is finding skilled workers. It's such a big problem. The average age of the workers are 50 to 60 years old. And in a couple of years, we're going to have such a shortage, not only myself, but in the country. So we're trying to get these, the parents and guidance counselors to make it okay to work with your hands and tell them you can make a great living. So tying with the school systems is something else we do. And, just in your position now, how do you feel about, the skilled trades, the Made in America? You've got to produce more than you consume. Do you think you can make a difference with, I know you're new in office. How do you feel about the whole, Made in America and bringing up the skilled workers?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you on that issue. I did not have the opportunity to view that movie, but I would like to see it just from my own
knowledge. I'll make sure you get a copy to Mike for you.
Great, thank you. And, we have to come back to where we were at one point. Fortunately, before I became a senator, I was the chairman of the Agriculture Committee.
Oh.
They have a program. Pennsylvania has a program called PA Preferred. And basically, it involves buying, if something is labeled, it involves labeling in the store that this produce was produced in Pennsylvania. So, I think there is a little bit of patriotism that we need to act upon. The studies have shown that people are more likely to buy products if they are labeled that they come from Pennsylvania rather than unlabeled as to where they come from. So I think we have to translate that into the business community, into the working community, not just with fruits and vegetables and beef and what have you, but with products, with manufacturing products and other things that we produce, not only in Pennsylvania, but, back in the 80s, there was buy American cars, and you just don't see that anymore like you used to. So I think we need to return to that.
Very well said. And Senator, I'll tell you, one of the reasons working in media is a lot of the people have gone out of their way to convince the American people that there are products out there. Don't worry where they're made, just as long as they're available to you. And what I do from time to time is I go out into the stores and I talk to the managers to see what trends are happening. And of course, they tell me programs like ours are very helpful because then they can go back to their store managers and the corporate headquarters and say, people are complaining, they're not buying, they're walking out the door, they're not shopping here, and we have to do something about it if we're going to hold on to our business. Mark opened a store in New York, and he features 100%, so when you walk in his door, you know that everything in there from the start to finish is 100%. We don't have that availability here in the USA. In fact, it got to the point now that when you read a label, you don't have any idea where anything is made. It just says distributed by so-and-so, but it doesn't say where it was made. I understood 30 years ago it was mandated that a label have where the product was made, the FDA products especially. Now, when you talk about FDA, there are a number of products that are now coming from foreign countries, and I noticed on the old boxes that it said exactly where it was made. Today, I look and I can't find anything where it's made, and that's the kind of thing that maybe yourself, especially with products made in Pennsylvania, you can ask them to add that on their label, that they're proudly made in Pennsylvania, which is really would be a great way to promote the products.
Yeah, I think it really is, because I think you, in certain people, the label stirs a sense of patriotism and you know, hometownness. So, you know, you're willing to spend an extra dollar or two because you know it's a Pennsylvania or United States made, and you know that the money's going to be kept in the United States.
Here in the USA. Larkin, what would you like to add to that?
Well, I think what you know, the most important thing is to get the organizations that can do the most to help budding entrepreneurs and second career individuals. We have a huge marketplace of people 55 to 58 years old who have decided to step away from the corporate world and start their own business. It's a huge dynamic in the countrywide, and what these people need most, more than anything in the world, is support from the American banking system, which is a little late right now, because approaching a bank and saying, I want to do a startup and I've got 30% of the money in the bank saved, and here's my business plan, and they go, well, good luck with that. You know, we don't do startups. So there's this lack of willingness because of the mess. You know, how do I say this, political? The mess that they created and the regulations that have been pasted on them as a result of what happened in the early 2000s. It's not in their best interest to make these kind of loans.
The other thing is
government, and that is probably one of the more important things. Both our local, state, and federal government have to sponsor, have to encourage, have to pass tax laws and employment laws that encourage getting America back to work. And so often, and this is not a political statement, this is apolitical because everybody does it, the tax coffers are lined with money that's been taken and picked out of the small businessman's pocket. And it's... And it makes it impossible and difficult for them, you know, to operate from day to day. So it's government and their positive can-do, let's help attitude to get people, to get the money that is going into unemployment and welfare redirected into growing small businesses. That's it in a nutshell. And it's that also local and state government kind of encouraging banks to get back in the business of lending money and taking a little bit of risk.
Well, the banking committee in the state of Pennsylvania can certainly be contacted about that. I think that Senator Sabatino has an opportunity as a new person on the block to go in and say, I have to do this as a result of my constituents asking. a person who's been in there 5 or 10 years. Well, why didn't you ask before? But you can ask a lot of questions as the new guy on the block. And I think that's an important question. It might be a good idea to get some of the bankers together and say, how can we do something to get small businesses, people like SCORE, Larkin Connolly's connections here in Pennsylvania, their SCORE chapters all around, and let those people speak with the banking people and see what their plans for the future are. That's one way we have to help one another.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. Yesterday was the last day for my pharmacy. My local mom and pop pharmacy closed, and you know, it's just that upon Nabisco on Roosevelt Boulevard just left for Mexico. So I'm well aware of the challenges that we face and the obstacles that we need to overcome just to keep jobs in America. It is it's a good idea by Larkin to contact the banks and see if they'll work with small businesses and you know, have them be a little more flexible than they have been.
You know, Senator, even with PCN, Larkin, this might be something interesting. Such a summit might be able to be aired on PCN or at least taped and broadcast in the future, where small businesses could get together and speak up as to what their needs and concerns are, and possibly it may benefit all people in the long run.
And Senator, I might mention as a talking point for you, you're 100% right about Nabisco leaving. But what everybody fails to recognize when Nabisco leaves is the outrageous impact it has on all of the small businesses surrounding that plant.
Mm-hmm.
From the landscaping company that cuts the grass around the plant, to the plumbers that repair the plumbing, to the janitorial staff, to the printing that is done locally for them. I mean, it's enormous when you close a plant like that. It really hurts not only the employees from Nabisco who are now working for a new company that probably isn't paying as well, but when you mothball a plant like that, it has an egregious effect on
yeah.
the small businesses that surround it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Larkin. You know, there's a diner right next door. I'm sure that more than one worker went there to eat for lunch, and like you said, it mushrooms. The effect that a plant closure like that has mushrooms and spreads throughout the community, not in a good way. So, you know, part of my job, you know, I'm brand new at being a senator, but part of my job is going to be to find a replacement for that Nabisco site and you know, to try and fill the empty storefronts that, you know, that they run up and down our commercial corridors.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, you mentioned something, and I'd like you to bring that up. You said something about going into a plant at a particular auction last week. Can you bring that up? Because this is something the senator would be interested to hear.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is, I call it a spider web effect or a ripple effect, the opposite of your plant closing. And if one product in my store might support 15 manufacturers, from the glue to the boxing to the packaging. So my general welding, I'm sitting in a 48,000 square foot footprint right here. We run 24/7. And I built it, unfortunately, like Buffalo Forge. Buffalo, very similar to Philadelphia in a way. You know, at one point it was the second largest city in the country. But Buffalo Forge employed about 2,200 people. You know, I knew the gentleman that was one of the last ones to lock the door. And you go in and you see the lunch boxes or you see the, you know, coats hanging, and they were just told, you know, we're closing plant. And I kind of built General Welding, unfortunately, on about 10 or 15 auctions that were at good plants in Buffalo. And a lot of people, Senator, don't realize the connection with when I say I sell a retail product or how much went into the one. You know, Nabisco is a great example. How many people it affected, the small mom and pops that are around it that, Larkin, you try to build. And that's what was the deterioration of America, and that's kind of the cancer of it, that we've got to stop. And I hope you're not afraid to say, you know, buy Made in America products. I've been blessed with 500-plus interviews, more than half national. Diane Sawyer sent Chernow Fonzie down to meet me for 2 days. Been on World News four times, Fox and Friends seven. And all positive, though, but they use me. But I hope you're not afraid. It always amazes me how they can't say buy Made in America products, you know, because that's something people could do tonight.
Yeah, no, that's not one of my fears.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes I wonder why they can't say it.
I'm a full supporter of buying Made in America, and Pennsylvania if you can, and Philadelphia even better. They're closer to better in my estimation, you know.
I'm proud to say out of the 450 manufacturers and suppliers we support, I'll bet you 50 plus are Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania gets it. You know, all the small towns that build Pennsylvania really understand the losses that occur, and they really believe in what we're doing, and they've been awesome. I sponsor Ricky Lee out of Altoona, PA, and he's a country singer. He's got a big doing this Friday, but he started music for our vets this year, and he goes around to the VA hospitals and sings to these veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's awesome to see the difference. But I've met a lot of great Pennsylvania people that really understand working with your hands and how families are built and grown.
Senator, have you been hearing from the people about restoring the trades and vocational arts in schools?
Actually, funny you should mention that. Before coming on this program, I was a guest at a meet and greet at Community College of Philadelphia up in Northeast Philadelphia campus. And that's exactly what they were talking about, is educating, reaching down to the high schools and being able to educate them so that they were ready to approach college and they also have, they realize that not everyone is college bound, and that they focus in the trades and the arts and things in that manner. So,
and as we often talk, many of those trade people do much better than the students coming out of colleges with all the fancy degrees in business and all. They seem to be, out there in big numbers, but the people coming out of the Delaware County Business School or the Delaware County Trade Schools or the Bucks County Trade Schools, they are gobbled up immediately. Even the people that are at Orleans in Northeast Philadelphia, they get a job immediately because people need this type of worker, people who are knowledgeable, people that have hands-on experience. As I said earlier, we have 10,000 people retiring every day. Some of the employers tell me that they have to plead with some of the people to stay on the job for another 3 or 4 years. Please don't retire because we don't have a replacement. Now, in America, with all the schools and all the funds going into the schools, we should be able to be replacing one person after the next, but that's just not how it is these days. Back in 1980, that was fine. There were all the shops were open and the trades were, 100% in motion. Today, it's different. Do you see that differently, Mark?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up to the senator, too, and Larkin, you probably heard of PTEC. It's a program that's tying your trade schools with public schools and allowing a student from ninth grade to actually 2 years past 12th grade. So it's a 6-year program starting in ninth grade where they'll ask a student in ninth grade, would you like to be involved in this program? And that student he'll go to graduation with his friends in 12th grade, but he won't graduate. It'll include 2 years of starter college. And it's a 6-year program, but it's tying the trades to schools. And they're just introducing it into Western New York, and I sat on a board there to try to help it come on. And I believe you have it, Larkin, there now. But PTEC is a great program to allow kids to enter the 6th year, and they'll come out with a 2-year degree and a skilled trade. So that's something, Senator, if you hear about. PTEC is very interesting. We call it a 30-year mistake, what we're in. My father, again, worked at Ford Motor, was an iron worker, came up real hard. But, we did okay. We had an extra car and a swimming pool. So I always said working with your hands is really you can make a great living. And I just hope you recognize how big a problem the skilled worker shortage is. I needed 20 welders last year, and I got one, started our own school system. But my customer don't have the patience. They need quality parts on time. And it actually causes me to lose a lot of work that is really frustrating.
And the problem is that the unfortunately, the people who want to get a technical education and work with their hands are competing with institutions of higher education who are encouraged, as well as our government, from high places down, saying everybody deserves a college education, everybody should get a college education, and anything short of that is kind of a missed mark. So what we have now are you know, egregious numbers of students graduating from a college with $140,000 worth of debt and no practical education and no place to really go and get a job. So not only do we have to encourage them and take the mystique out of being a laborer using your hands, but we also have to create, you know, Mark talks so diligently about Made in America, and it's so bright and so brilliant, and it's exactly what we need to do. But if you want to build a toaster, you open a toaster plant, but in most cases, that's an assembly plant.
Yeah.
Somebody makes the thing that flips up and down, somebody makes the electric cord, somebody makes this, somebody makes that, and it all comes in. So I could open a toaster plant here in Green Coast Springs, Florida, tomorrow morning, and it'd be just great. But I'd go out there and I'd end up buying foreign-sourced products in order to put the toaster together. So is it made in America? No, it's assembled in America, but it's assembled. So we need to create those small companies that make those component parts that go into so much that we could and would be doing.
Yeah, and just rehashing the thought, you know, a skilled trade is an education. A sheet metal worker, a electrician, a plumber, that is an education. I have a law degree, and I can't do any of those things. So, you know, I think we have to recognize that the trades are an education, and you know, to do what they do takes a lot of know-how and takes a lot of learning. So, you know, equating that with a college degree, you know, it's just a different type of education, and I think we need to be cognizant of that fact.
You know, there was one point that we were talking about encouraging the colleges to also offer a technical institute certificate that would be like 2 years of college. I'll say to you that the schools out there like Lincoln, Tech, and all those kids are going to have a life of great employment opportunities, because what they're learning there at AP Orleans and Delaware County Community College, these skills are not going out of business. Like Larkin mentioned, we do not have one toaster made in the USA. That might be something we can do in Pennsylvania. Why couldn't, Senator, you suggest some of the manufacturers to consider making a toaster? Toaster,
yeah.
In Pennsylvania could be distributed all over the country. I went into several of the electronics stores asking them for a toaster about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. And everybody looked, I mean, they ran to boxes to look where it is, and there's not one toaster. So Larkin and Mark have been joking around for 6 months now that this may be something new that we'll have to look into. And Larkin, maybe one of your score candidates can become involved in the toaster situation.
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt. It just struck me as funny. We should boycott toast, I guess. We should.
And Larkin tells me he's a man that loves toast in the morning, yet he has no American-made toaster.
But I don't have an American-made toaster. I'm going to start doing it. And I said to my wife, let's do it in the broiler or in the oven. She said, yeah, but the oven's made in Indonesia.
Now, Mark is involved in a business, also a second business. His main business is welding, and Mark was saying, well, I could make a toaster, but it's going to be pretty heavy, you know, if I have to bring it out of the steel. But guys, you better start talking about that. Maybe we can get something moving up on this thing. And by the way, I have to tell you all, we're not going to have any breaks today in the show, because I'm going to acknowledge all of our sponsors tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and each day during the broadcast. I want to thank all of them. You hear them so often, and they are announced in our newspaper and on our daily radio program. I have to tell you, Senator, you have never met this man, but I'm going to make sure that you do. And Ken, you'll like this guy too. You've heard him many times. It is Rich Logis is with us, and he is calling in from Poland, where he's on vacation with his wife. Rich, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning. It's afternoon for me.
Hi, Rich.
It's 5:38 my time. Thank you guys for being on. Everything, Michael, is great here. We've had a great trip. We've got a next few days we'll still be here. But I got to tell you, when I get back, I got to fast. None of my clothes fit. I mean, all the Polish food and beer, I've got to do like hot yoga or something when I get back to Florida. Because, boy, you talk about just a great, hospitable people. I also spent time in Germany visiting my wife's family. It's the same there. And we've had a wonderful vacation, and I am looking forward to getting back into the madness of the U.S.
And, Rich, by the way, just say a few words about how is employment where you are in Germany and in Poland?
Well, I'm definitely, guys, in the next coming weeks, I'll share with you some observations from many of the people I spoke here with regarding the U.S., our economy, our politics. Here's the good news. The good news is that we are still viewed very favorably by all the people I met, at least the places I visited. Our standards of freedom, our free market, our liberties are still very much respected in, I believe, lots of parts of the world. And I think especially here in Poland, Michael, as you know full well, and many of our colleagues at the center, Poland is not that far removed from a time when it was under oppressive rule by its neighbor. So the model of freedom that we have championed in the U.S. for so many years has definitely, in a positive way, influenced the thinking of many here. But I'm going to share in the coming weeks, when I'm back in the U.S., some anecdotes that I think our listeners are really going to appreciate the perspectives of some of the people I met in Germany and Poland.
You know, Rich, you just mentioned something which I think is good. Just as Poland was oppressed for those years during communism and they rose up after freedom was restored and their businesses they're far outshine many businesses in Europe. I think that's what all of us are working to do here in the USA. We've already had our downturn. Now it's time for an upswing.
Hey, Rich, let me ask you a question. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Let me ask you a real quick question. Could you observe while you're over there and tell me if their bricks and mortar stores sell items that come from other countries?
Well, I'll tell you this, Larkin. Here's something that I thought was quite interesting in looking at a lot of the goods here, and I thought about Mark in particular. I did find numerous items made in the U.S., in Germany and in Poland. They're the kind of items that maybe aren't the sexiest type of items, but are the general everyday consumables that all kinds of people of all races and religions and cultures use, like towels and soaps and toothbrushes and these kinds of things, many made in the U.S. And of course, I would say that the bulk of items that I did see have a label inside that say made in PRC, which is a little different kind of labeling from our made in China, but stands for People's Republic of China. So there's a lot here as well. And I think that a lot of the items that, like, for example, Mark, that you're carrying, I see them here. I do see them overseas here. And it always begs that question. Why is it that we don't see as commonly as we should U.S.-made items in the U.S.? And this is the movement that if we can't get united, I tell people, and I said to people here, and as people from other countries looking at the U.S., guys, I want to tell you they all agreed with this sentiment. If Americans cannot get behind America itself, the future doesn't look good. It's really just that simple. And if we as a nation cannot, we can all get behind Made in America. I've said it before. Mark makes a living out of it. That's an issue that, as much as any, people can truly unite over. I believe that. I believe that years ago when I came on the show, when I see how Mark's doing, Mark, and with all the businesses you advise, and in talking to people here, people in other places that I visited here respect and appreciate the quality of a Made in America label. Very much so.
Rich, you are the best, as always. I can't wait for you to come back and be, you know, giving us your information. Since we have a large Polish-American audience, they certainly will be very pleased to hear your perspective of how things are going back in their ancestral homeland. We're doing our best, and we miss you for the last few weeks, but we know you're... Did you get to hiking in Zakopane?
I did see the mountains. Henry, our audio engineer, had asked, he said to me, enjoy in the homeland. And I have to always make mention that my Polish roots they're actually a quarter of my full roots, because my mother's side, Italian and Sicilian, many will say that's the same, but as the paisan who listened to the show know, they're not exactly the same. Different countries, different cultures. And then my father's side was the Polish and French side. But as far as the French side goes, I mean, I'm as much Ethiopian as I am French, guys. So, yeah, Poland and Italy, they're like the homeland for me, you know. No disrespect to our French listeners, of course. I love escargot, but this is the homeland that I most identify with being here in Poland.
Rich, you are the best. Where are you off to today?
So we're headed back to my wife's city of Wrocław. We're actually driving right now, Michael, on what I'm pretty sure is a recently constructed highway. I'll tell you, it's moving along beautifully.
Oh, yeah, the autostrada.
And you know what, guys? Just one last thing I'll mention just as a compliment here to Poland. Last time we visited was 5 years ago. And I took notes, and I made observations 5 years ago, and I'm comparing them to now. And I have to tell you guys, I see a lot of advancements here in Poland. So it's overall, I think that as Poland has moved toward liberties and freedom and a free market style of commerce, you're seeing those gains. You're seeing the advancements because the way of thinking has advanced. And this is always a good reminder for me when I travel elsewhere. It gives me a time to think and gives me some time to think about, in America, our perspectives and our freedoms. And I still believe, guys, and I've said it before, and I still believe, all things considered, we are number one. We're still the best place, our standard of living, our laws. But Americans have to unite over the country. Even with political differences, I believe that the majority of people in our country, we share similar ways of thinking. Unfortunately, the political process is oftentimes dictated in the headlines by the extremist sides of the left and the right. And I don't believe the majority of the country is extremist left and right. I think we're much more in alignment on our thinking. So with every election season, it gives us a chance to assess this. And being here has given me some time to assess what I see as the really important issues, not just for the election, but onward. So I'm happy, Michael, to report that things are going well here. And I'm really looking forward to getting back into the U.S. and getting back on the show as normal.
Well, Rich, have a great time. My best to Bożenka. And make sure you have a great time. Do your thing and enjoy. And we'll talk to you when you get back.
Rich, and don't eat too much out there. I'm at the fair, and I've got the same problem.
Oh,
the pants are, my pants are a little tight. You know, before we went for the trip, I went clothes shopping. I got 2 inches above my normal waist. It wasn't enough. And Michael, here in Poland, they're in centimeters, so I don't know what the hell any of it is. I mean, I go to get a sandwich. Oh, here's a sandwich, 15 centimeters. And I pull out my phone to check the centimeter to inches thing to make sure it's enough for me, that I'll be, you know, make sure I won't be hungry after I eat it. So, Mark, enjoy. And, guys, thanks so much. Look forward to talking with you when I'm back.
Good. And Senator Sabatino will be looking forward to talking with you in the future. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have a great one,
guys.
Thank you. Dziękuję.
Take care, Rich.
Do widzenia. Well, it was great to hear from Rich. We didn't hear from him. For the last couple of weeks, he's been on travel. And another week he'll be out on travel, and it should be very interesting. But it is interesting what he said, how, and I see it and I hear it from many of the visitors that we get, even some of the boys and girls that come here for school. They say that so many changes have happened in Poland, where the people are focused on jobs, supporting their countrymen and doing things like that. I really think, Senator, this would be something that would be very helpful to not only the state of Pennsylvania, which you represent, the 5th District, but also for the United States as a whole. I really believe that too many businessmen just snuck out of the country without, you know, being really noticed. And as a result of that, we are now looking at what Mark calls the 30-year mistake, which has hurt America. We've lost a whole generation of people. We are now in debt for $18+ trillion, and our efforts are trying to make sure that that is turned around. Larkin, what would you add to that?
Well, I agree absolutely. I think it's such a complex problem. I think the easy answer is, well, it's just Republicans fighting Democrats. And I don't think that's it. I think it's banks. I think it's big business, big box stores. The answer is complex. And, you know, it's going to be a tough one to get ourselves out of. But guess what? Even though we're 36th in science and 28th in math, when we used to be first and first, we're smart enough, we're driven enough, and we appreciate our freedom enough that we can respond and do this. It's going to take great, great non-political leadership to get us all pulling in the same direction.
You know, Larkin, what gives me a lot of hope is, Senator, I became a destination of New York and the United States, and I didn't do that by planning. It wasn't in my business plan when I opened a store, but we've had 500-plus buses, tour buses from around the country come to our store in Alma, New York, right outside of Buffalo, and 80% come from out of state. And these people that get off, demographic age is usually 50 to 90 years old, and 99% love our country, love what I'm doing, remember when, love and enjoy looking at nostalgic and new Made in America products. So there's absolutely hope. Sometimes you're watching the media, you get so one-sided, and like Rich said, we got to form one team, one goal, get healthy again as a country, as a nation. And I do believe that buses I love, and I've probably stepped on 95% of them and told my bus story, we call it, 10-minute story, and they applaud. Our favorite shirt is a Made in America store shirt on the front, because China's a long drive to work. And I tell them, my daughter's 12, I have 4 children, I do it for her. It's for our children's future what we're doing here.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Mark and Larkin. You know, I think we have to rev up our patriotism. I think we have to get our patriotism back, and we have to, and not only just the purchasers of products, but as Larkin alluded to, the banks, the businesses, the owners. And along those lines, it's not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue, because when you boil it down, we're all about doing the best that we can for the state and for the country. I mean, whether you be Democrat or Republican. And this is, you know, buying America is a good start. So, and I'm sure, you know, on both sides of the aisle, whether it be Democrat or Republican, I'm sure that, you know, we can all agree that you know, when you buy local, when you buy in-state and in-country, the dollars get shared among each other and not overseas.
I love when you mentioned, Senator, that you're on an agricultural board. And, you know, farmers and farming was the first original American small business. And no one really worked harder, you know, at 5 o'clock, their day's half over. You know, and I'm always looking for farm work ethic employees because they just get it. You know, they work 7 days a week. And but that's something, you know, that's all part of it. I say support the country, live in 50-50 fair trade. I have Vietnamese, Japanese. They've all interviewed me, Russia TV One. Japanese did two projects, Project Wisdom and Project Reshoring, from my store parking lot. And they understand when the foreigners come in, even Canadians come in, they understand supporting the country you live in. It's your team. It's your country. We have the first 100% souvenir store at Niagara Falls. So we've been running 3 years strong. And when, you know, 50% foreigners, 50% domestic come, they want to take back something made in America. Our made in America symbol and name stood for pride and stood for quality around this country and world, and it's still respected. We just don't want to lose that, and it's okay to support your country, you know, and you shouldn't take an eye off of it.
Right, right. Actually, it gives me an opportunity to give a plug right here. A new business did open last week in my district on Roosevelt Boulevard called Mission Barbecue, and they donate proceeds to the Wounded Warrior Project. They had recently had fundraisers for the Police Survivors Fund and the Firefighters Equivalent Fund. So I mean, they get it. They're red, white, and blue, and you know, they're giving back to their community. So you know, anybody that likes barbecue and try Mission Barbecue, because they have their heart and their mind in the right place.
Yeah, and I've got Brian Higgins here as a congressman who more than gets what we do. His father was a bricklayer. Senator Patrick Gallivan's a friend and gave me a proclamation on our store and what we do. We've got a lot of respect from both sides, and it's just great to see. And you've got a lot of power and opportunity, and it sounds like you get it, you know. All you can do, and I know you get a lot on your plate.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah. As a senator, he's able to ask a lot of questions now, especially calling these special boards together. You can ask a lot of things. The school board is mainly something that has to be focused upon, because when some of the parents go to the school boards, they say, well, it's about money. It's about money. We can't expand what we're doing because we don't have enough money to put the trades back and to put the vocational arts back. But that what that really is saying is that our students aren't going to have at least the possibility of another step in the future of their life if they don't have availability of these classes. They can go to a specialized service afterward if they want to improve or sort of master their degree in whatever they're doing, plumbing, heating, whatever, be a specialist, but at least they would have some experience with hands-on as they are in the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. Something very important that we can talk about.
And Mike, we've got to allow it and allow children to have more opportunity and make it okay, and don't stereotype one side or the other. We all believe in college, but let that child have more options and bring it back and expose them to more things, if maybe, you know, electronics or welding or mechanics or engineering, and make it okay.
Wow, I can't believe another hour has passed, but I'm really very pleased to have Senator John Sabatina Jr. here with us. I know that he's going to do great things in the state of Pennsylvania, and I'm going to ask him to be with us again very, very soon, because what he has to say is going to be then repeated in Harrisburg, and that is going to make a big difference for all of us in Pennsylvania. But what we do in Pennsylvania, where it all began, is also able to be done throughout the USA, and it's time we unite forces and do our very best. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, we must say dovidzenya. Senator,
thank you. Thank you very much, Michael, for having me on. Thank you, Mark and Larkin and Rich, and I look forward to being back.
Very good. Thank you so much, guys. And
Senator, and good luck.
Thank you.
The rebroadcast will be up on the internet in an hour or so, and it will be emailed to all of our 23,000 supporters. And I ask all of our supporters to go out of their way to email it to family members and friends. thank you so much. Until this Saturday at 11 when I am with you again, or next Wednesday, have a great one, and don't forget to support American-made.
Thank you, Senator, and thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great week.